It's almost 68 years to the day that a group of college students in Hungary demanded reforms from its strict communist government. In a bit, we'll remember the short-lived Hungarian Revolution with Michael Korda. The editor-in-chief emeritus at Simon & Schuster was a student himself at the time and drove from England to Budapest to witness what was happening. We'll also get an update on what's new in Rome to help you plan a visit as they spiff things up for the busy Jubilee year ahead. Let's start today's Travel with Rick Steves looking at the centuries-old celebrations called Sagra that pop up all over rural Italy in the fall. Our tour guide is vintner Cecilia Bottai, who comes to us from Orvieto in Umbria. Cecilia, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
So describe a sagra. What is that exactly?
Well, the sagra is an event that has a very long tradition and history. The sagra comes from sacred, sacro, because that was sort of a food or product festival that was done in front of the temples first, the churches next. In the church or temple yard, there would be a celebration because of that harvest went well and so forth.
So it's a harvest festival that goes...
It's a harvest festival, food fair, back to...
Ancient times?
Very ancient times.
Okay.
Sagra comes from sacro, sacred, and the space in front of the church that you call the churchyard or the temple yard.
So even in ancient times, thanking the gods for the harvest.
Thanking the gods for the harvest. And this is how this developed.
Now, how does a tourist today who's exploring Italy learn where these festivals are?
Well, you have posters everywhere. You go online, you Google Sagre in Italy, and you have a list of maybe 1,000.
Oh, my goodness. So Sagra in singular is S-A-G-R-A.
Yes.
And now, are they usually in the village, in front of the church, on the main square, at a farm? Where
would
you find
it? They used to be in front of the churches. This is what we call the sagrato,
la
chiesa, the space in front of the church. Now they are in villages and in smaller sites, never in a city.
Never in a city?
No, they're only in these small villages.
Because it's a farm action thing.
It's more than a farm action thing. It's something related to the small community.
Okay.
And they also have a target now.
A target.
The target is to make some money for the community.
Oh, okay.
Let's suppose this community wants to make some extra money, needs some extra money for the children's playgrounds. Okay, so they organize a festival, which is a sagra. Everybody volunteers. The money they make goes into that project.
And this village might be famous for its artichokes.
Well, artichokes are, you really have 1,000 at least.
Okay, so is it mostly in the fall during harvest time, or can it be also in the spring and summer?
Well, they go all year long. Of course, since one of the reasons is to make some extra money, not just to celebrate life together, most of the sagras are done during the good season. That means when there is no rain, when there is more people around, when people have their holidays, so that can really gather together a lot of people to make what they want.
And but when would that be normally?
I would say they start around May and the end October.
Now, I'm thinking in terms of harvest in a farm, but is it also involving hunting? And
of course.
And, no. So what sort of a hunting dimension would there be to
wild
these festivals?
Wild boar sagra.
Wild boar?
Yeah. Have you ever had wild boar, Rick?
I have. I love it.
Have you ever seen a wild boar in front of you?
No.
Yeah, that's quite an experience, I can tell you.
So well, what is the meat that might be hunted and then celebrated in a sagra?
Could be meat, could be fish, could be jackrabbit, could be wild boar, could be any kind of bird that you can eat, could be any sort of fish that goes with a specific kind of pasta, the goose. We have close to Orvieto, the goose sagra.
I'm curious about this boar because I loved the boar meat. What might you eat in a village in Italy at a wild boar sagra?
You want to eat the wild boar stew. You might eat the local style of pasta with the wild boar ragu. Mm. You might eat the ham made with wild boar meat, the sausages made with wild boar meat. You can do a lot of different recipes with a wild boar.
So if you're going to a sagra, you should not eat first. You should come with an appetite.
No, you should not eat for a week, and then you go there and you eat.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're fantasizing about food right off of the farm, food fresh from the hunt, as we travel around Italy and we have our eyes peeled for a sagra. That's a village harvest festival. We're talking with Cecilia Bottai, and Cecilia lives, splits her time in between a farm where she produces some beautiful wine in Orvieto and in Rome. Cecilia, describe some of your favorite memories of different sagri that you have stumbled onto or gone to for a little vacation.
Well, I can tell you that I like them all. And I can tell you that when I used to live in Florence, I would go out with friends in the countryside to have dinner at the Sagra. It's a nice experience because that is only cooked by very local people. The traditional cook is, you can picture a short woman, which we have an expression in Italy for how robust she is. It's easier to jump on her rather than walk around her because she's really the typical Italian
mother. So quicker to jump over her than walk around her.
Yeah, okay. Because they're very
into food. Sort of a local babushka.
Yeah, a local babushka. Uh-huh. Perfect. And then you go there, you buy your ticket for the food you want to have, and then you sit on a bench close to people you've never seen before in your life. They might be local people or tourists, but from Italy mainly. You have an excellent kind of food, or quality of food, sorry, which is absolutely local. Nothing comes from anywhere around. That's what we call kilometro zero, 0 mile. That means it's really local for a very little amount of money. And you feed yourself with, what can I say, 12, 13 euro. Uh-huh. You can talk with somebody who's next to you. You enjoy an open space. If you have children, they can play around. And that's it.
And I would imagine there's some local wine along with that 0 kilometer concept.
Can you imagine a meal without wine in Italy?
I really
You cannot. Can imagine it, but it doesn't exist.
So you got your wine and you got your passionate, whatever they're cooking up, whatever they're growing, whatever they're hunting. You mentioned 0 kilometer. Tell me more about this, because I hear this term a lot when it comes to eating in a very local way. What is 0 kilometer eating in Italy?
0 kilometer eating means that you eat whatever dish or whatever cheese or whatever that comes from close by. If you have a 0 mile, that means something that has to be produced within 150 miles, actually, you have something which is absolutely local and you can make sure it's fresh.
It takes on a special quality because you know you've got that heritage, the sustainability, if you care about the environment, you
Absolutely.
Didn't spend a lot of extra energy.
Absolutely. And you very often know who made them. So I know who made that cheese. In Italy, we have very often this tradition, generations after generations doing the same thing. You know, myself, I'm one of them.
Because of your wine.
Because of my wines. Yeah. But I know people who've been making cheese for whatever years, so many generations. So I know where the cheese come from. And now we have people going back to that. That's the surprise.
So there is a movement not to the supermarket in the suburbs, but to 0 kilometer eating.
Not only that, to abandoning the modern, contemporary life. Mm-hmm. They quit a very nice and profitable job and they start remaking the real food.
It's more expensive.
It's more expensive, but wait a second. We are in Italy now redeveloping a non-wasting way of cooking. What do you mean? In the past, you would cook a cow. Let's say if you're not vegetarian, you cook the cow, we say, from the horns to the tail. The tail is called alla vaccinara. It's a very famous Roman recipe. In the 70s, you would have only filet. And now we're getting back to that. What do I do with the tongue? What do I do with the tail? Well, the same is for smaller animals, chicken. What do I do with the chicken? I can boil the chicken. I can make the broth. I can make the soup. I eat the meat and I cook the veggies together. And if one chicken costs you 20 euro instead of 5, but you have the ability to make with one chicken the entire meal, in the end you eat better and costs you less time and money.
Cecilia Bottai leads tours of Italy from her home base in Rome and manages her family estate winery in the hills of Umbria overlooking Orvieto. Right now on Travel with Rick Steves, she's cluing us in on the agricultural Sagra festivals that you can find scattered around the Italian countryside in late summer and fall. Cecilia, I'm just going to say a few words, and I'd like you to just talk about what that might mean to you, where you might find it at a Sagra. Gnocchi.
Gnocchi, the Sagra degli Gnocchi. I have one very close by me, Lake Bolsena, because that is an area where they make great potatoes.
So they have potatoes, they celebrate their gnocchi, and go to a village.
To a village where you have the gnocchi made there.
Porcini mushrooms.
Porcini mushrooms, it's usually end of August when they do it, or October in Tuscany, in the Chianti region. Otherwise, the mushrooms, sagras, are also in the Maremma Toscana, which is the coast of Tuscany. Mm-hmm. And this is when you get them and where you get them.
And that would be in the late summer and
late
early
Late summer and early fall.
Tortellini.
Tortellini, Emilia Romagna. You have to go there. Absolutely. Although they make tortellini everywhere, but Emilia Romagna is famous for
Where
that.
Where is Emilia Romagna?
Emilia Romagna is what we consider, geographically speaking, the start of the north of Italy, which is right north of Florence. When you cross the Apennine, the Appennini, you get to Bologna. Let's say Pavarotti's area.
Okay, okay. And I'm sure he enjoyed a few sagres.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
Polenta.
Ah, polenta, you have it both in Emilia-Romagna and in the Veneto region. Veneto region is Venezia, Verona. This is where they're famous for polenta, that you can dress with any sauce you want.
Because you have, it's like cornbread. But
it's cornbread.
How would you dress it up with different sauces?
You can make it with ragu. You can make it with the stockfish, polenta con bacala. It's very famous up there. You can make it with cheeses. If you live up in the north where they have the mountains with the beautiful cheeses, you make the polenta and you have the cheese that melts on top of the polenta. It's, not for a Weight Watchers diet, but it's tasty, I can tell you.
Now, it is so fun to be able to just talk with you and imagine a lifetime of enjoying these festivals of food. For the little finishing off of our conversation here, share with me one favorite moment that you've had at a sagra.
Well, I was with lots of friends that was in the Maremma area, and there was a sagra of the porcini. And we sat there, we were already quite a few people. There was a long table. All of a sudden, we started speaking with the people next to us because we had to sort of split in the group because there was not enough room for us. And we found ourselves in a table that was covering almost all over Italy. And you know how I call my country, the United States of Italy. We had lovely food, and I was sharing some experiences with someone from Sicily. My husband, who's from Calabria, was sharing with somebody from Piemonte. All of a sudden, that became a long table of friends who had never seen each other before. And we are talking about the difference on how to cook the porcini here and there, how you would enjoy them the best. And in Tuscany, and then there was a little bit of a conflict, who made the best ones, of course. But that was so Italian. And we spent 2 hours and a half with people we never knew before that moment. And that it was a memorable night.
Cecilia Bottai, buon appetito and mille grazie.
Thank you. La ricetta di Cicirinella, compagna di
Cella, precisa mamma. We have a link to Cecilia's family winery called Tenuta La Veletta. It's with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Next, we get clued in on what's happening in Rome, what's new to look for and look out for. And in a bit, a longtime editor-in-chief at book publisher Simon Schuster tells us what he encountered in Budapest back in 1956. Michael Korda went there to witness and perhaps help out with the popular uprising against its repressive communist rulers.